This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. There's been lots of attention paid in the past few years to the hundreds and thousands of sports-related injuries in this country. Concern and attention has ranged from the high-profile NFL players with traumatic brain injury to fears of what repeated injuries might be doing to our children while they engage in sports like football and soccer. Now, many states have passed concussion return to play legislation, and here with more on what's happening in New York State is Dr. Brian Rieger, the director of Upstate's Concussion Management Program and the Central New York Sports Concussion Center. Welcome. Thanks for coming in, Brock.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Rieger. So first, let's do a quick overview for our listeners. What do we mean when we use the term concussion?
Well, a concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury that's caused by a blow or a jolt to the head. So it is a traumatic brain injury, but typically we call it mild because we expect usually short-term symptoms, no more than a week or two in most cases, but that's not always the case.
Why is it so hard to diagnose?
There's no objective medical test that can diagnose a concussion, no blood test, no picture of the brain. As a matter of fact, if a CT scan of the brain, a picture of the brain, is taken after a concussion, it's almost always normal. And if it's not, that usually is an indicator that the injury is more severe. So it's really often considered to be an invisible injury, and it has to be diagnosed by taking a good history and looking at the way the person's functioning is affected.
So is that why it's often missed?
That's one of the reasons that it's missed. Partly because the symptoms are quite variable, so no two concussions look the same. Headache is the most common symptom, but for example, not everyone even has a headache. Also, the symptoms may show up right away, but sometimes might be delayed for hours before it really becomes apparent that something's wrong.
What are some of the myths surrounding it?
Probably the most common myths are that you have to lose consciousness to have a concussion. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, only about 10% of athletes actually lose consciousness. More common is a brief period of being dazed or not being able to remember what happened. Some of the other myths are that everyone's better in a week, which is not the case. Most people certainly are, but the symptoms can actually last for months in some cases.
I actually read that some studies have indicated that 1/3 of athletes do not recognize or did not recognize a concussion symptom or even report these symptoms to trainers or coaches, and that 28% continue to play their sport after a blow to the head that caused dizziness.
Yes, those kind of statistics are certainly out there, and studies have been done looking at the rate of concussion reported by athletic trainers. But then if you do anonymous phone surveys of athletes and ask them about their past season, the suspicion of concussion actually goes up quite a bit. So athletes are presumed to either not being aware of when they should tell their athletic trainer or team physician about suspected symptoms, or they're hiding them so that they can continue to play.
And there's a lot of pressure for them to continue to play. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely.
Mean, this idea of, you know, play, win at all costs kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly. And that's one of the things we've really tried to address in our community outreach, is that when it comes to a concussion, hiding symptoms or playing through the pain is really unacceptable.
It seems like also the adults involved, in many cases the coaches or trainers, really need to be, you know, highly educated about all of these issues, the symptoms, what to look for. And, of course, the thing that strikes me most is that repeated concussions can really lead to very, very significant problems. Tell us about that.
Well, that's one of the concerns, is that there's research to show that, for example, it may take longer to recover, or you may have more severe symptoms with repeated concussions. And with some cases, we can see that there are accumulated effects where a person may have symptoms that don't go away. More recently, there's even concern about repeated head trauma, even in the absence of a person suffering a concussion. And this is really a whole new area in the last 5 to 10 years, where it's become clear that even if you don't suffer a concussion, the effects of repeatedly banging your head in a sport or for any other reason may have consequences as well.
It's interesting, too, because it's not really limited. I think there's also a myth that it's limited to football players, for example, or high school age kids. And with all the kids playing youth league sports, I think recent studies have shown that there was a higher number of ER visits for traumatic brain injury due to basketball, even in children and adolescents, like girls and younger children. Mm-hmm. So it's not just boys, and it's not just high school.
Definitely not just boys. As a matter of fact, in sports played by both sexes with the same rules, such as soccer or basketball, women typically have a 10% higher rate of concussion than boys. Nobody's exactly sure why that is, but it's a consistent finding. And it's certainly not limited to football. Although football does have the highest rate of concussion, many other common sports, here in Central New York, for example, lacrosse is very common, and that's a high-risk sport for concussion, along with soccer, for example.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Brian Rieger, and we're talking about concussion and what's being done to diminish its hazardous effects. Well, I want to get to what's being done, but there's some recent research that just showed that Pop Warner football, for example, kids who are playing youth football have had a higher
rate.
Right.
Well, up till recently, we've really only had good data on the rates of concussion in high school, college, and maybe professional sports. There hasn't really been much research at the youth sport level other than emergency department visits. But a recent study coming out of Pittsburgh showed that in youth football, the rates of concussion are actually quite similar to those in high school and college athletes.
Wow. So what are those issues that surround this kind of continued brain injury, actually, or brain trauma? What are the things that you see, both short-term? You mentioned some of the shorter-term things.
Yes.
But what are the dangerous things that can show up longer-term?
Well, the immediate symptoms, such as headache, nausea, confusion, as I said, typically resolve in a week or so. But in some cases, it can take much longer. So you can have kids, for example, who are very tired, who can't concentrate, for weeks or even months.
Are there learning problems associated?
And that can cause significant academic problems. As a matter of fact, there's been a recent push after a concussion not just to limit the child's physical activity, but to also pay attention to limiting the mental activity, because we think that using the brain mentally after a concussion may actually prolong recovery or complicate recovery, especially if the person tries to do too much before they're ready.
You know, some of the high-profile things that came out in the last few years, there was a suicide of a University of Pennsylvania linebacker. Again, they thought that it might be secondary to traumatic brain injury from all of the, you know, repeated head trauma that he experienced just growing up and getting to that level of play.
Yes,
do you see depression and those kinds of things?
Well, there is concern about an increased risk of depression, especially in football players who've had repeated head trauma. The links between concussions or playing football, for example, and what happened with that young man are not clear yet, but there's no doubt that, again, in the last 5 to 10 years, there's much more concern about the long-term effects of repeated trauma. In other words, it may appear that the person is recovering from injury now, but are we seeing that there might be some risk of problems later on?
Yeah, I even read that there was some talk about having longer-term things like dementia or ALS, for that matter.
Yes, and again, those are things that have been problems associated with professional football players who have, you know, a long history of repeated head trauma. And there's a lot of investigation going in to better understand that right now. When it comes to your average kid who might play in high school and maybe in college, it's harder to know yet what the risks are going to be. But again, there's no question that that's a very active area of research right now.
Yeah, and helmets alone are not the whole, don't obviously sufficiently protect.
The brain is floating inside the skull. So a helmet, what I like to say is you can put a helmet on the head, but you can't put a seatbelt on the brain. So when the helmet is stopped, the brain keeps moving. So a helmet certainly, it may reduce the risk of concussion in some cases, but it certainly does not prevent concussion.
So what do you recommend? What do you recommend to parents, for example, whose kids are playing sports or?
Well, one of the things that has been the focus of these concussion laws has really been to mandate education of people involved in sports. For example, in schools, coaches, athletic directors, athletic trainers are required to have some education about concussion now. I would argue that anyone involved with sports should have some education about concussion. For example, it's just as important for parents to be aware of these things as anyone else. If you're in a high school or a college, in many cases, but not always, there'll be an athletic trainer, maybe even a team physician on the sidelines. But at the youth sport level, club sports such as club soccer or youth football or cheerleading, the coach and or a parent may be the person who needs to recognize that there's a problem because there isn't a medical person watching that game. They might be nearby, but they're not on the sidelines.
So they're not supposed to go back in and play right away, and they're supposed to be given time to rest.
So recognizing a concussion is the most important thing, because what we need to do if we suspect a concussion is immediately remove that person from play. If a person continues to suffer head trauma after they've had a concussion, we think that the consequences can be much worse. So absolutely, get them out and keep them out until they've been medically evaluated and cleared to go back by someone who knows what they're doing.
So what's happening legally?
In terms of the legislation that's mm-hmm. around the country? Well, as I said, the Concussion Management Awareness Act in New York State passed last July, and it mandated education about concussion for people involved with school sports. Interestingly, the legislation does not have any bearing on non-school sports. So again, youth sports at this point remain unregulated.
So there's a lot that still needs to be done.
I think that we still need to raise awareness with the general community, with parents, and also to focus on these younger ages, especially now that we're seeing that the rates of concussion, for example, in football are actually quite similar.
So you have a clinic?
Yes.
And what happens there?
We have a multidisciplinary clinic that provides education and treatment for people with concussion. And our focus really is on the more complicated cases where folks go on to have problems and they really need a whole team to help them get through that. Thankfully, that doesn't occur most of the time, but when a person is struggling with the lingering effects of concussion, it can be very difficult if they don't have the right support and understanding.
So we'll have the information as to how to contact your clinic on our website, HealthLinkOnAir, that's all one word, .org. And it sounds like you're doing some very important work. You're going out into the schools. You're trying to raise their awareness and consciousness. And hopefully there'll be more people paying attention to this, because it really is a serious, serious concern.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Brian Rieger. He's the director of Upstate's Concussion Management Program and the Central New York Sports Concussion Center.